Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
All right. This is our very first live stream of our Valks Valley podcast. Only we had some combo pods with the death lineup, but we're only talking Valkyries today. So I'm very excited. And it's been a few games since we've chatted. I think the last time we talked, they had just got their first win. Since then, they got their second win. And then they lost three in a row to the two best teams in the league. Were you at Sunday's game?
Yeah, I was. I was.
So was it? Did it feel the same as the other two home games?
It felt, which is interesting to hear. Like, I've heard Courtney Williams talk about how she thought that the fan base, like the crowd, was really, really hype, and she was impressed when we were down starting to lose a lead that we were still in it from a fan base perspective. And I felt like it was probably the weakest of the three games. Mm-hmm. But I guess safe to say that our weakest is still pretty darn good in terms of energy. But I don't know, I felt like, I think when that second half comes around and it's a lot of stoppages, and poor Tiffany Hayes, where she goes down again with a face injury, and that took up a lot of time, but there was challenges that took up a lot of time, a lot of whistles being blown, and it just felt like it was kind of sucking the life out of the building. And especially out of the energy of the players. Like, I felt like there were no runs after that. And I guess until like that fourth quarter, little Veronica Burton spurt, but, yeah, that felt like the weakest of the three games that have been at home, regular season games that I've been to, and but still pretty good, I guess.
So you got to see Nafisa Collier, who is going to be in the running in the race, may even be the leader right now for the MVP of the league. Clearly the best player on the court. And there were moments where I was like, if she wanted to, she could just get a bucket anytime she absolutely wanted. So how was it seeing her? Because the other two games that you went to, Sparks, you got to see Kelsey Plum, but then Mystics, you know, you got to see a more of a younger team and Brittany Sykes kind of do her thing. So how was this in comparison to the live professional basketball that you've seen in person?
This definitely felt like I was watching the best team in person, like by far, you know, Sparks, Lynx, Mystic, like the Lynx are going to run them out of the building. But in terms of Nafisa, like, I think she's kind of at that point where sometimes it's like, you know, you watch a player play and you're just like, I know you're really darn good and you don't really need to prove to me anything. And then I look down and I look up and she has 25.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of felt a little like quiet, like a little muted 25, kind of how, like, you know, when the Warriors had KD, or like, I don't know, like Nafisa to me also, like, and for listeners, you know, we have a Warriors background, and so this, there's more
a lot NBA of our NBA
comparisons as we continue to follow the league. There'll be
at
more
some WNBA. Point it's going to be cool when you can compare a WNBA player to a WNBA player.
Yeah. Nafisa to me kind of feels like a Kawhi Leonard at his peak, like a Raptors Kawhi. Like, he's just two-way, you know, not like the flashiest in terms of how you get your buckets. Not a Caitlin Clark, Steph three-point shot. Not like a LeBron, Asia Wilson, powerful. It's like Kawhi, like, get to your spots, play amazing defense, and get a win. That's kind of how she presents to me and when I watch her. But I think she is going to be the MVP. They're calling it the MVP. And I'm happy. That was the main draw for me going to that game. Besides going to another Valkyrie game that was affordable, it was, I want to see Nafisa Collier, and it was cool.
Janelle Salon. We have to go back to Zina Keita. She pronounces these names very correctly, it sounds like, to me. I forgot how she pronounced Janelle's last name.
Salon.
Okay, that's what it was.
I'm like, and Zina knows French, so I trust her pronunciation. I also did trust her pronunciation on Yusday, and that still not. But at least
somebody gave us a pronunciation in the comments. I'll look at some point and see if I can find it.
Please, if there's anyone listening who's Lithuanian, like, just
okay,
record yourself and send it to me.
So Janelle was faced up against Collier pretty much all game long. There were moments where you're like, oh, like, she can actually stand up against her in that moment. And there were others where you're like, okay, she's a rookie and Nafisa's just a different athlete. And like, did you gain any insight in Janelle's game when faced against the best league? Unfortunate for her, because she also had a really bad offensive game. But her plus minus, you know, I know that's a flawed stat. It's not the perfect stat. But her plus minus was really good. It was really the bench plus minus that lost the game for the Valkyries. They were competitive for the first half and into the third quarter. They lost it in the third quarter, played a lot better in the fourth quarter, but the game was kind of already away from them.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I feel like when I attend a game in person and spend American dollars, I'm not necessarily like, I for some reason just don't pay attention to some of the fine details like I would. Like, I pay attention to different details, but like, I guess I wasn't looking at like the matchups per se, like I was when they were playing the Liberty and it was Janelle matched up against Brianna, and I was really interested on how that would go. I didn't even realize that Janelle was the primary matchup on Nafisa when I was there live. But I don't, like, Nafisa just seems like she has like that, just that, like, I think Nafisa's what, 6'1", 6'2", Janelle's like 6'2", 6'3", but Nafisa just has that lower body strength that just puts so many people out of position that, you know, I don't know. I it would make sense if Janelle being, you know, Janelle's a rookie by age or rookie by year, you know, but Janelle has been playing professionally and at an Olympic level for a couple years now. So, you know, even her, like, I feel like she tried to, you know, exert all your, where you find, you start finding, like, Nafisa's found a way to be an efficient two-way player on both sides of the court. She's one of the best players in the league. That's come with time. That's come with learning. And, you know, with Janelle, I kind of feel like you're getting a lot of exerting energy on one side of the court, where then you're feeling like it's impacting the other side of the court. Like, you put it all on defense, and then maybe the offense isn't showing up. Against New York, she was kind of given a lot of the offense, but on defense, I felt like Brianna was getting the best of her, but New York in that first game was getting the best of everyone. So I wonder if there's a little bit of that with Janelle as we continue to watch her see both sides of the ball consistently in elite at an elite level.
We got to see two of the best teams in the league
back to back.
And the Liberty and the Lynx are both off to like historic starts this season. Who did you think was the better team? The Liberty, clear that, like, that's really the only game that the Valkyries have been boat racing and like had no chance in winning, is that first Liberty game that was also on the road. They played back to back games on the road. The second game, They had a chance to win that game. They were right there.
Yeah.
Without Jonquel Jones,
anything away from the Valkyries, but I feel like Jonquel is the mismatch against us. Like, we have no one to stop her, even though maybe she didn't have a crazy scoring night in the first game. Like, we know that, like, her presence alone just changes everything.
My fantasy team felt that one.
Yeah, I almost feel like right now, like, if we do, you know, there's a lot of weaknesses with this team, of course, but I've, for the most part, I've liked what I've seen. But it's just that, you know, 6'4 plus center. You know, our tallest player is 6'4. I think it's Monique and Kiara are both 6'4. Temi, I think, is 6'3 or 6'4. But once you run into that Jonquel 6'6, 6'7,
yeah,
you know, I wonder if that dynamic of a big is going to present issues. Because Jonquel's, you run up with Jonquel, it's like one of the best ones in the league. But I wonder if you play Atlanta, you got Breonna Jones and Brittany Griner just right there. I wonder if that presents any issues or if we can run them off the court, but just transition. But I think New York looks like the best team right now. I'm in the camp of thinking that Minnesota got robbed in last year's finals, but I also think that.
I think Minnesota thinks they also got robbed.
Yeah. But again, from a perspective of like, oh, I want the Valkyries to be a long lasting elite team. I would rather New York win than Minnesota get their fifth ring as a franchise. And it's harder for the Valkyries to catch up to. But isn't it is ridiculous that New York just casually got like Natasha Cloud? And although I feel like in some of the finer moments for the Valkyries, when they were kind of able to figure out New York, it was a lot of letting Natasha Cloud shoot. But man, she could play defense and she was getting stops and steals. And it feels like that was just such a casual add for a team that was already so good that sure they lost Kayla. Sure. They lost, but Nigel and Lady Hamilton and Unrivaled, but just to get like a proven player, like how badly do you want that in the NBA where it's like, please just give me someone who's proven in the playoffs. And they were just like, sure, we'll take her. Like, seems like she got thrown onto this Connecticut team that she has no interest in being on because of, she was used to facilitate a trade. Let's just add her on our roster. So I think New York, I mean, and you look at it, you know, I don't know if you listened to the Athletic women's basketball show, but they were talking about,
I haven't listened to today's. I tried to get to it before. I just didn't get to it.
I don't know if this was before this Valkyries game or after this Valkyries game, but Minnesota's net rating isn't like crazy. Like, it's like they've kind of been in a lot of games as opposed to blowing out teams.
Well, there's one Liberty game where they won by like 40 points in addition to
the Valkyries
the first game was like by 30 or something. There was another game though, they put it's somebody out like 100-60 or something.
They beat Connecticut by like 46. That's insane. I think it's safe to say that the Valkyries are not going to be the worst team in the league.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think it's safe to say that it's going to be Connecticut, and then now we have to see what Dallas looks like.
Yes, and Paige got hurt. She's out a couple games because of a concussion. Obviously, Caitlin got hurt as well. Caitlin's out for a couple weeks, though. I don't know where that sits right now. But I think I agree with you. I think the Liberty are still the better team. Sabrina gives you a different look. But then I was looking at the box score from Sunday, and 42.3% from three, that was what the Lynx were, compared to 26.5 from the Valkyries, and the Valkyries shot more. But they had 2 of 4 from three from Nafisa, 2 of 3 from Kayla McBride, and 3 of 7 Courtney Williams was like all over the court, and yet still, again, plus minus flawed stat, she was a minus 10. I felt like she was like maybe the second best player on the court the whole game. Mm-hmm. And her plus minus did not show that. But it feels to me like New York can shoot deep. When it just felt watching the games that they were the better deep shooting team. Maybe it was just Sabrina, because Sabrina creates that. But as that box score showed, Minnesota was so efficient from three. And whereas the Valkyries are the opposite of efficient from three, and that's going to be the difference in a lot of these games. The Valkyries just cannot get any consistent deep shooting. And so most of your points come on these like late possession, you know, sometimes they get bailed out with fouls, but it's like somebody's got a grenade with 2 seconds left and they're trying to create an opportunity that does not exist. So that
ends up being a lot of Temi from three. I feel like she ends up getting the grenade a lot of time because she's not afraid to shoot it from three. But that's been the story for the Valkyries. You look at I think I was looking at this last night, but I think they were saying it in the Minnesota game as well, but most three-pointers attempted in the league per game level, least worst three-point percentage.
Probably
they take the most with the worst three-point percentage. And then we were looking at pre-pod, I have the stat right here, where and it's not to dump on Kayla, because Kayla Thornton's been so good for the Valkyries in other areas, but she's at 5.8 three-pointers attempted per game, and she's at 17.1% from the three ball. And I don't think she's a 17.1% three-point shooter. Like, I bet I could look at last year, and she's probably in that low 30 range, but we know darn well she probably shouldn't be a 5.8 three-pointers attempted player. That's just, it's just, you know, you're an expansion team with, you know, no best player, and I feel like everyone's having to do more than they're used to. Six players were protected from each team, meaning the seventh best player was available, meaning that's a role player, meaning, you know, it's just a team full of role players. But I mean, this isn't a, what I've been happy with so far is this isn't like a podcast or a team that like, we're just like, what do we talk about? Like, you know, they're losing
a lot. Stories.
There's stuff to talk about, man. Like, we could even talk about, why is Carlo only getting one stint in the first half for the past two games since Tiffany came back? Like, it makes sense. She gets bumped a little because Tiffany comes back, but one stint in the first half.
Yeah. It was tough. Let's talk a little bit about Carla here. Carla, I was actually interested in your thoughts on the actual rotation, because Carla was in Sabrina Merchant's power rankings column, not the last one, but the one before, as rookies of the week. Now, Sabrina's rookie of the week isn't necessarily who she believes is like gonna win the rookie of the year or anything. It's just like rookies who've sort of caught her eye. And in the second week of the season, Carla Late was the rookie who caught Sabrina Merchant's eye. So she wrote about her, and I actually wrote a little bit about Sabrina's take in my blog post on bspnmedia.com. And Sabrina wrote, she's incredibly hard to keep out of the paint, too versatile to defend once she gets there. Late is comfortable with the little runner or putting her head down to get all the way to the rim, especially in transition. She always has her head up for the kickouts to the three-point line or dump offs to a rolling big. As a WNBA rookie, she's held up on tough defensive assignments, even giving Kelsey Plum, real difficulty in Golden State's win in Los Angeles. And so pretty much since that moment, she has gotten the lesser of the minutes compared to Julie Van Loo. And based on how the team was being run by each player, it felt like the team was better with Carla on the floor. And it just feels like Carla does a little bit more. Now, this is a coaching thing. This is Natalie Nakase knowing that she's got Carla for a little bit. And we had a question ourselves about, like, who do the Valkyries have rights to with the new CBA and everything? And I actually do have an answer to that question that we'll talk about in a second. But maybe it's one of those things where you're like, she's got to earn her stripes. She's the rook. We're playing the vet. The vet deserves the opportunity. However, this is interesting, and we'll have more on this again later in the show. I'll kind of tease it as well. With Eurobasket coming, Julie Van Loo is one of the rumored players to leave, and Carla has said that she's not leaving. So maybe,
I don't think it's rumored for Julie. I think, well, I mean, I guess it is a rumor
until they go.
She has said she's doing it.
So maybe it's like, well, we need to see what we have with Julie. When Julie leaves, Carla's going to get a lot of run. It could be something like that. I haven't seen anybody ask Natalie about it. And it sounds like we'll shout out the author of the column later when we talk about it. But it sounds like Ohema's not really talking too much about losing players for Eurobasket for the people who have asked. So it's just really interesting, because right as Sabrina writes about Carla, then she's kind of out of the rotation, so much so that on Sunday she had a whole 3 minutes compared to 19 for Kate, who deserved them. Kate was one of the pluses, the only plus on the bench players. Julie, who had 0 points, made zero shots, and a minus 17, and this is not me dismissing her in any way. I think she's really fun to watch, and she does get, you know, she's pushing and trying, you know, to get things going. But to that effect, she was not good, and still she got the majority of the backup guard minutes there. And Tiffany Hayes went out early in that game, which should have opened up more minutes, but it didn't really. So where are you at with the rotation right now? Who do you think is getting maybe a little bit too much PT, and who do you want to see more of on the floor?
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I think we knew this was going to start to get weird once, you know, when we started with the preseason where, you know, you had no Steph Talbot who was injured, you had no Xander Lissini who was injured, and now that those players, and then no Janelle Salon hasn't even reported yet. So
yeah,
now that those players are here and are funneling into the rotation, I've said on this podcast that those are players who I think would be in a playoff rotation, and here they are, just like, not like they were just injured, and now they're ready to join the rotation, and they have, and they've taken a lot of minutes because of it. And I think, you know, we've immediately seen Carla kind of take the hit because of it. Like, I'm looking right now. Yeah, Carla, one stint in the first, out before the first quarter ends, nothing for the rest of the game. And I just, you know, I think Kate was situational as well. She doesn't get that second stint if she didn't have such a good first half, scoring, you know, most of the 3-point buckets that this team couldn't hit. So I think that, you know, the younger players or the unproven players are going to, you know, take the hit because of this. But, you know, as we'll mention with Eurobasket, we might have four players leaving, which could delay this potential issue just a little longer until they're back. But yeah, I mean, I'm of the camp that Carla should be getting minutes, but I'm also of the camp that I'm trusting the coaching staff and the front office of their approach to this. And it's been, you know, exciting to watch.
We've seen, you mentioned Stephanie Talbot. She's back and she's getting a decent amount of run. And in some instances, she's started. And then we have Cecilia Zandalicini, who has been good in some cases and not so good in others. And I love her shot. She comes out there ready to shoot. I think her first game back, she like drilled like her first 2 threes or something. Love the confidence. You mentioned something about Kayla Thornton, because I'm kind of interested in what I'm also wondering is, we know come trade deadline, there's probably going to be some deals made because the Valkyries have some vets who would help some good teams, not necessarily as a starter, but maybe as a solid bench piece. And so I look at Kayla Thornton, Veronica Burton, and Veronica Burton has been fantastic.
She's been our best player. Her and Janelle Salon, I think. Her, Janelle Salon, and Kayla, you give it to either one of those three, I think they've been the best players.
Like if they decided to trade Veronica Burton before the season was over, I'd be really sad, because I'm like, man, she just, like, whatever you want out of your basketball team, she just exudes all of it. But you look at some of the vets and you're like, okay, like, what do they mean for next year? Like, Monique Billings, what does she mean for next year if you know, you're getting tape on her as a first year Valkyrie player, but then if she's going to be a free agent, there's no reason for her to necessarily take up minutes from younger players. The Eurobasket thing throws all of that out of whack, because they're going to need all of the American players who are not going, and they're going to all play heavy minutes. But I do want to see Carla. I want to see Kate's getting a decent run, but there are some moments where I'm like, do I need to see this Kayla Thornton corner three, or would I rather have someone else shooting that? Now, that's no shade at Kayla either. She's obviously one of the better players on the team, but you just think about this from like the perspective of, you know, who do you have versus, you know, who are you trying to possibly trade? So there is that aspect to it. I would love to see Xander Lissini in there a little bit more, but I think she disappears a little bit on the court. Do you see that when you watch her? Like you're kind of like, oh, she's actually in the game and she's not really, I think, getting the ball at all.
It's really easy to tell when she's in the game because she has like the best looking shot in the entire league. So you watch her put up a shot and be like, oh, holy shit. Yeah, she is shooting. But I agree. Like, I don't know. I'm not as much of her on the defensive end. I don't know if there's much of a defensive playmaker there. I'm mainly just like, she shoots the hell out of the ball. It's the best looking jump shot that they got. So, and it goes in, you know. So I know that Minnesota probably would want that level of 3-point shooter, because it feels like they got a lot of good looks, and Cecilia Xander Lissini seems to put down good looks. It's just a matter of being able to get her a good look.
Mm-hmm. And some of that is, because they play a lot of drive and kick, but sometimes they can't even get their offense going until it's too late. And so the kick, when you do get the kick, it's like, great, the kick is covered. Like, that, there's no open shot there. But in some cases, they're getting open shots too. So you can see the offense and the way that Nakase wants the team to run the offense. You can see it. There's a lot of open shots. They're just missing a lot at the same time. And I don't know if they're like, I don't know enough of the history of these players to know that, okay, they're going to start making these shots. They're just cold. Like, for instance, you know, Brad and I were talking about the Giants yesterday, and you're like, yeah, I've seen enough of Lamont Wade Jr. to know that even if he heats up, he's heating up to be a 250 hitter, not a 350 hitter. So, but in the WNBA, like, you know, you keep hearing the announcers, Toby and Reagan talk about how last year was Thornton's best 3-point shooting season of her career. And so then I'm like,
I'm going to read it.
Well, yeah. And then I'm like, I can actually, I see it. She shoots it with confidence. It looks nice. It's just not going in.
35% from three last year on 3.2 attempts.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's at 5.8 attempts on 17% from three. And like the half. 3.2, yeah, like, it looks like she's mainly shooting two. Like, she started her career in 2015, so there's a lot of stats to go off of here. But yeah, 5.8 is by far a career high to start the season. It's a lot of those corners. She's just hucking those corner shots. And, you know, I think that teams are not that worried about that shot right now.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't, it's like they're protecting against certain things, and that one is often not the one that they really care about.
Yeah.
So we had talked about how the contracts are going to work for next year. And so Marissa Njemi, is that how you pronounce her last name, from the Chronicle?
Yeah.
So she had a Q&A that was awesome, by the way. Shout out to her. So there was somebody who had written in and said, which players seem like the ones the Valkyries will invest in long term beyond this season? And so she wrote, after this season, the Valkyries have the rights to only 5 players from their current roster. Kate Martin, because she was in last year's draft.
Yeah, rookie scale.
Carla Late through 2028. So Carla's here. Did Carla get drafted
last year by Dallas?
Okay, so that makes sense.
She pulled a U-stay. She didn't come over.
And then reserved free agents.
Okay, so we get Janelle
Salon, Kiara Linskins, and Julie Van Loo. So those, all five of those players cannot sign elsewhere unless the Valkyries do not sign them to a minimum deal. So unless they just choose that they don't want one of these players, they're going to be back next year. So there's your five. Everybody else is gonna test the free agent market. However, our good friend Yuste, they have her rights. They also have the rights to Maria Conde, who is sidelined with an Achilles injury.
Oh, Achilles.
And then someone you've mentioned a few times, Ileana Rupaire, still has 2 years left on her contract.
Is it a rookie? Is it from a rookie scale? Like, is it her rookie deal? I guess we'd have to.
I don't know. So Marissa wrote that potentially puts eight players on the roster for next season with a strong free agent class. This offseason, the team could look very different. Late and Salon are the two players the Valkyries will likely build around, with Yuste and Conde, given their potential, are seen as critical long-term assets for the team's future. So that gives us a little bit of an outlook of who you can, and like, if you're trying to buy a jersey of somebody's, you know,
players will
be back next year at least.
This league kind of feels like anything. Like, there's no, it's tough to make a long-term investment like that. If you want to see, it's not like I know the NBA is kind of like, you're not sure either, but it feels like if you get a high draft pick, it's like, okay, you know, barring something crazy, I can count on this guy to be on my team for at least the next 5 years. Kind of doesn't feel that way for the WNBA right now. And like, even like, you know, Kiara Linskins is on a reserved contract. It kind of feels like, I've been saying that I feel like she's the cut. If Ileana Rupaire decides that she wants to come over after Eurobasket, I feel like she kind of holds a little bit of gravitas, the word, where she kind of, you know, can say that she wants to come play and she will get a spot after Eurobasket. I think that's the Linskins cut. So I wonder what contract Ileana's going to have. Is it going to be a reserved contract? But I think we should get into some of the Eurobasket stuff, because, you know, there's potentially four players, I believe, that are leaving, two confirmed, two unconfirmed, with Xander Lissini and Fag Benle. I do not believe they have confirmed, but Linskins and Late have confirmed that they're staying and not going, and Van Loo and Salon have said they are going, and then we're waiting on Xander Lissini and Fag Benle. I believe that's it. Potentially four.
All right, I have the article, the Eric Apricot article. I will shout out the Substack in a second, but I have one more question. This may be the most important question of the show here. Is Brandon Pajimski bad luck?
He's 1-2. Same with me. We have the same amount of luck. But man, game
he's a great
two,
fan out there.
He is. He was just making me anxious. I think I said this on the podcast in the second game, where he's just getting too close on the court, where I'm like, dude, you're not on the team. Like, you're just a courtside fan right now that's just getting too much on the court. But he dialed it back a little bit. You could see he had the wrist cast this time because he got surgery.
Whose jersey was he wearing?
Didn't even see it. Was it 20? I feel like 22.
Who's 22? I think it was 22.
Team? Is that Veronica?
I think it might be Burton. 20. I can look on the I think I have the roster up here somewhere. Number 22 is Veronica Burton. Yes. Okay, so let's talk about the Eurobasket. So this comes from the Valkyrie Nation Substack. This is fantastic information, by the way. Shout out to the Valkyrie Nation Substack and Eric Apricot, who is the author. Now, this conversation, to people who understand this, who are WNBA diehard fans who have been following the league and who have dealt with this before, this may not be news to them, but we are speaking to what we believe is a newer audience with the Valkyries. So I'm going to lay it out how Eric laid it out, because Eric wrote it as if there's going to be new people reading this. And again, I kind of love the all of the content creators here, just the idea that you know, for the same reason that we wanted to do this podcast, there's an opportunity to cover the origin story of a team. And so I just love seeing all of the folks who are just going head first, and we'll shout out more because I'm absorbing a lot of stuff. Okay. So here's the post. So Eurobasket is the European Championship for national teams of women's basketball, taking place June 18th to June 29th. So we're talking about 2 weeks before Eurobasket starts. You talked a little bit about it with Yuste. So if you heard the Yuste interview, you did hear her talk about it. You did hear Brian and her talk about it. So which Valkyries players are leaving the team to play Eurobasket? Players on the roster or with rights held by Golden State with the player's country include Julie Van Loo, Janelle Salon, Cecilia Zandalizzini, and Timmy Fagbenle, and he put them in the probably will play Eurobasket bucket. In the reportedly will not play Eurobasket bucket are Kiara Linskins and Carla Late. And then the players who are not European, Stephanie Talbot, Kayla Thornton, Tiffany Hayes, Kate Martin, Veronica Burton, Monique Billings. And so that is a good amount of your roster who's actually getting a lot of tick right now. So we just talked about the rotation. Like, that's going to drastically change in 2 weeks when these players miss.
Yeah, and I've been seeing the Reddit, and it's something that you can see when you look at who's going versus who's staying. But who's going is, you know, one guard and two forwards and a center, right? So with the guard position, it's kind of easy to say, okay, next man up, next woman up, Kate Martin, Carla, you know, you just get to basically step up a spot. But for the forwards, it actually feels like you might need some replacement players to fill out some of that rotation, which I'm sure we'll get to with the hardship stuff.
So which games will these players miss? Players will be gone 2 weeks and back 48 hours after their team finishes play, which would be either after the group stage ends, which is June 21st or 22nd, or the knockout stage ends, which is June 29th. So there's a whole extra week there if based on how the team does. And so
is that just with the prioritization rule, though? Did he mention that, like, at any part in that sentence?
There was something about that.
I know I saw it somewhere. I've started to become more familiar with that rule as well. And I think it was introduced in the most previous CBA where, like, if you have a certain amount of service time, you qualify.
Right.
Or not, maybe qualify isn't the right word because you don't want this, but it helps WNBA teams, you know, make sure players report to camp on time. But it's like something along the lines of whenever your league finishes, you have to be here within 48 hours.
So
I think that goes for Eurobasket as well. But Janelle's doesn't qualify for a prioritization because she doesn't have, this is her first service time.
So the WNBA teams can't officially stop the players from going since WNBA prioritization rules make an exception for national team play in the FIBA World Cup or FIBA Continental Championship.
There you go. Never mind then.
Teams can, in theory, waive players to free up a roster spot, but this would be drastic, and all four Eurobasket players are crucial to the Golden State team. And, you know, if you're a free agent, do you want to go to, and you're European, do you want to go to Golden State? Probably not. They have invested in European players, right?
And so Phoenix actually just did this. They waived Uzun, I believe that's how you pronounce her last name. She's going to play Eurobasket, and in comes Haley Jones, which I think they actually shared the court together, so it wasn't exactly like that. But Haley Jones, shout out Bay Area product, Santa Cruz product, Haley Jones is back on a team.
So you could also suspend the player contracts for Eurobasket or for the rest of the season, and that would result in the players not getting paid, and that would save a small amount of money and temporarily open up roster spots, and could discourage players from playing Eurobasket or punish them for choosing to do so. But again, you want to be a destination for European players. Not, you don't want to scare European players from not wanting to be on your team. So this Julie Van Loo said she's not sure. And that, again, this is all ValkyrieNation.substack.com. Check them out. This is great. I've already subscribed to the Substack. Van Loo admitted she's not sure what she's going to do. And she said, the decision is a difficult one to make, and the Valkyries aren't very keen on letting us go.
Yeah, but then did you see what she said after?
She followed up. I think she realized.
She realized what she said, but
you know, her, yeah. You know, maybe how people would take that.
Yeah, exactly.
She said, you know, it's pretty much every team, not just the Valkyries.
Who wants to lose their players for 2 weeks?
Yeah,
just, you know, of course they're representing their national team. Great for them, but if you're a brand and a team, you don't want to just like lose your product for 2 weeks just because.
So essentially, the folks who are going to Eurobasket, who, you know, they don't make it to the knockout stage, they will probably miss six games, and the group stage winners will miss 10 games, which is a good chunk. You know, six games out of 44, not crazy, but 10 games out of 44. That's almost a fourth of the season. So that's a large number. So, you talked about the WNBA service thing. So players with 3+ years of WNBA service are restricted to leaving 2 weeks before through 48 hours after. And
earlier than 2 weeks before, no later than 48 hours after, right?
Yeah, and there are intense consequences for players who break the prioritization rules. But the only seven players who meet the criteria are Kayla Thornton, Stephanie Talbot, Tammy Fagg-Benlay, Tiffany Hayes, Veronica Burton, Cecilia Zandalazzini, and Monique Billings. So technically, only Fagg-Benlay and Zandalazzini are the ones constrained by this rule. Van Loo and Salon don't have enough service to count and thus have no restrictions about when to leave and when to return.
Yeah,
and
Salon could go and never come back if she wanted to.
Right, and she's not going to get punished for doing so. So
I'd probably waive her, but if that's the case, but that won't happen, right? No bad energy like that.
No, yeah, unless she's just like, man, I was there for a couple weeks and it sucks. I'm not coming back. I can't imagine that is, especially with the new CBA coming, and you know, if you can be a millionaire just by playing in the WNBA.
Oh my god, that's why I kind of think she's here right now, is to like get her time here going so that she can get next year's contract, which could very well be $1 million contract for her.
Okay, so the interesting thing about this is, what do you do? Because you're going to lose a few players. The team can sign emergency hardship contracts to have 10 available players. Who's out there? Well, Caitlin Chen just signed a contract for a 3-on-3 league, and that they have a tournament that starts at the end of June. So that would hurt her availability. We talked about Leticia Amihir, how did she not make the team? And so now we're looking at where are these players? So there have been three hardship contracts signed in 2025. Ari McDonald for the Indiana Fever, Haley Jones, you mentioned Haley Jones from Phoenix, and Liatu King from the Sparks. So because the Sparks fell below 10 players, so they signed
pretty quickly.
So that is what they are going up against, which is every team, though, right? This is every team who invests in European players is going to have to deal with this. And when we had first started to hearing about this, the Valkyries leaning into the European players, we knew that this was coming. We just didn't really know what it was. But now we understand. And that, you know, you talked about earlier, you were like, we know they're not the worst team in the league. They may lose a lot of these games because of how many of their players they're losing at the same time, though. Just because of depth, their second string is going to be, you know, really, really hurt.
It's like a good homestand too, which sucks. Like it's not even like a road trip. It's like a homestand. We're gonna be missing a lot of these players against good teams. But yeah, so you know, they're at 12 right now. They might lose 4, so they go down to 8. They need to get back up to 10, so you get 2 hardship contracts. So I'd be looking at Leticia and me here. And like we said, you know, they kind of have the guard spots that aren't going to Eurobasket besides Van Loo. Late staying, so you kind of have Late and Martin to be able to fill in that rotation spot. You need probably both of those hardships to either be a center. No, you probably go 2 forwards because Monique will be there and Kiara Linskins will be there. Kiara is going to go from DMP to backup center, get a lot of minutes while Temi's gone. I think you for sure find out where Leticia's up to and get ready to offer her the hardship. And also, did Chloe Bibby go back to Australia? Maybe see if she's still around and get her on the hardship as well. Those would be, you know, they were already in training camp, familiar with the players.
They're probably very aware, like that you have to plan for this. So yes. I'm sure that was part of the conversation. Are you willing to come back when yeah. we need you?
Yeah, I'm sure that was, you know, a big part of, you know, Natalie, I imagine Natalie said that, like, hey, you might not be playing for a roster spot right now, but you can leave an impression for there's Eurobasket this year. Many other teams might need, you know, a hardship contract. And I'm surprised, you know, none of them have been picked up so far that Ami here hasn't found a team yet because she was so good in those preseason games. So I do think she would be like a obvious one, I guess, you know, barring on what she wants to do. But I imagine that this was talked about and I imagine that she's aware. And so I would go, yeah, Ami here would be the first call.
Yeah, no, it'd be great to see her because we loved watching her in the preseason.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is upcoming for Valkyries basketball? They play the Mercury on Thursday, which is game 2 of the Commissioner's Cup. Where are you at with the Commissioner's Cup? Like, we talked about the NBA Cup and how it's just kind of like, it feels so forced. But the Commissioner's Cup for the WNBA, there's real money in this for the players. Yeah.
I mean, the NBA in-season tournament, which is now called, what, the Emirates Cup?
Yeah, it was
They got the idea from the Commissioner's Cup. Commissioner's Cup was proving to be successful. And I think they've been saying on the Athletic WNBA show that they've heard from players that, you know, the cheers in the locker room after a Commissioner's Cup win versus a championship kind of comparable. Some might even say it's louder for the Commissioner's Cup because that money you get is like, it just like it still means so much in this era of, you know, what they're getting paid per year. And that's about to obviously change next year. But still, it's still a lot of money. So I mean, I don't think the Valkyries are going to win the Commissioner's Cup. That's what you're asking.
Well, it's only been around for 4 years. I did my research. 2021, the Storm won. 2022, it was the Aces. And then 2023 was the Liberty. 2024 was the Lynx. So did the Aces go back-to-back Commissioner's Cup and WNBA Championship?
Sounds like it.
That
sounds like there's a trend, though, of, you know, New York got won the Commissioner's Cup and then they showed up in the finals for the first time in a while. And then, you know, Minnesota the next year wins the Commissioner's Cup and shows up in the finals for the first time in a while. Maybe that trend continues. We'll see who wins it this year. If there's a sneaky, like, I don't know, Phoenix Mercury or Seattle Storm.
So Valkyries play at the Mercury on Thursday. Mercury 5-2 so far this year, so really good team. And then they host the Aces on Saturday. That's an interesting one. And that's one that you cannot go to.
Yeah, the first game I can't go to. Oh man. That would have been a cool, maybe the you want to see the GOAT in person. That might be cool.
Yeah. And then so then Monday they are at the Sparks again. And the Sparks are struggling. They have a worse record than the Valkyries right now, though the Valkyries have played 2 less games.
Yeah, I just think the Sparks are also dealing with, like, still with injuries, like mm-hmm. still no Cam Brink, still no Ray Burrell, still no Rekia Jackson. Like and really, really quick, I wanted to say, like, didn't we talk about once on this podcast about, I think I found a rule where, which I think is most WNBA fans would say is a common known rule for them, but for us it's like, wow, I can't believe that you take 2 years into account for your lottery standings. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And so Connecticut's the worst team right now, but they were a pretty darn good team last year.
Yeah.
So that might hurt their, like, you know, whoever's, you know, AZ Fudd sweepstakes chances. Whereas the Valkyries, you only have 1 year to go off of. So, you know, they might just kind of easily walk into it. Dallas was bad last year. LA was bad last year, but LA doesn't have a first round pick.
Did I read this correctly that Caitlin comes to town on June 19th?
While our players are gone? I've been saying this for like 6 months now on this podcast.
That is that's gonna be a big ticket. If she's back, she's still, hopefully she's back by then. That would be not great for Valks fans who have never seen her. Like I would imagine those tickets are gonna be kind of nuts.
Yeah. So I paid like, I think I paid like 80 to 85 bucks per ticket to get into the very first game, very first regular season game of all time at Chase. And I imagine the Caitlin ticket's going to be that or more expensive just to get in. I had the worst ticket in the house in that first game. I paid $85. Vowed to never pay that price again at these games. And ever since then, I've been getting in the first level for $25 to $35. It's been great.
I almost wonder, like, obviously Caitlin dealing with an injury, you can't even really pull the trigger until you're sure that she's playing. Like, that would be the move.
Yeah, I've been trying to advertise this Minnesota game to all my friends, and I was like, oh, we're going to get to see Nafisa. We're going to get to see Nafisa. About 2 hours before the game, I look it up, and it says questionable, and I'm like, oh, shit. I told everyone that she's going to be the MVP, and she might not even play. It's like when I got us to all go to the California Invisalign Bay Area Women's Classic on saying that, you know, this UCLA team was going to be the best team and no Lauren Betts.
Yeah, no Lauren Betts. So I think we're gonna try and go to a game on that Sunday, but I don't know, man. I kind of like, I almost feel like we got to check tickets for that Thursday.
Yeah, we should check tickets
just to see. That'll be fun. All right, so really anything quick, else?
Yeah, I just looked at it, and so, you know, this is a You Stay Watch podcast as well.
Oh yeah.
So it looks like her first game, Lithuania versus Slovenia, is June 18th, 8:30 a.m. Pacific time.
That's not bad for us. Is it? Are we going to be able to watch it on YouTube?
To be determined. We will let the people know as we find this information out.
Yeah, I have a feeling, you know, I just shouted out the Valkyrie Nation subreddit and some of the other really, really good resources. I have a feeling we're not going to be the only ones on You Stay Watch, so we'll have to... Yeah. We'll have to figure that one out. But yeah, that'll be cool.
Tickets even are.
Oh, you're talking about to the Indiana game?
No, to the Slovenia versus Slovenia.
How would you even know how to read?
No, I know. I was just wondering like what it would even look like. I can't even take too long. But
all right. So that's it from here. We'll figure out when we come back. We'll try and create a nice little schedule here, but there's more off days in the WNBA season than there are in the NBA season, so that might make things better. I don't think we'll have a consistent day or time, so just check, you know, just make sure that you're subscribed to the BSPN Media YouTube channel, and I don't know if we're going to do all of them live as well. We'll do some live like this one, but we may do some other taped ones just because it can be easier just based on the time that we do it. And maybe we'll, because sometimes we double up with the Warriors stuff and it's just easier to just do those not live. So just keep aware, be aware of the YouTube channel, BSPN Media. We've actually gotten a lot of new subs thanks to the You Stay interview. So I know there's lots of new Valkyries fans who are subscribed to this channel. So welcome to all of you. And hopefully you stick around and hopefully we can continue to provide some good content for you. And that'll be it from here. So for Bri, I am Double G. We'll see you when we see you. Peace out.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.